Mike Adams in 6 minutes in the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. He's loaded for bear. You don't want to miss it. You can go on.
You can run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. So, Max, finishing up, we appreciate your time. Max Kaiser on YouTube, Orange Pill, at Max Kaiser on X. Looking at, did Buffett call the top of the market, or did he cause the end of the market? What do you make of that?
I think, you know, he's getting out because stocks are overextended, right? Their valuations are high. And so he's a guy who has already stated what metrics he would look at if to raise cash. There's nothing compelling for him to buy because things are overpriced. And you have companies trading at levels that are historically very high. And so he's raising cash. And he's a bellwether. So other people in the money management business are going to follow what Warren Buffett does. So there is a compounding effect, and you do have people walking away from the stock market. If you look at some of the data, for example, what's called breadth in the market, not breath, but breadth with a D. This is the number of stocks making new highs versus new lows. And it gives you an indication of internally what are people really thinking about the stock market. And last week, you had the highest number of stocks making new lows relative to new highs you've had probably ever. And it just shows you that the conviction of the people in the market is low. There's only maybe seven stocks, the Magnificent Seven, and they account for something like 25 to 30% of the movement of the overall market. Their market capitalizations are in the multi-trillion dollar level. And just like in 1987 or the dot-com era in 2001, once confidence shifts away from that very highly concentrated group of popular stocks, it can take the entire market down as it did in 1987, which I know very well because I was a stockbroker at that time, or in 2001 during the dot-com crash, I know very well because I had a dot-com company. And so you can get a 25, 30, 40% markdown very quickly. What this has is it cuts into people's ability to spend money, because although the economy kind of stinks and like fast food restaurants are cutting back, there are millions of people in the United States and around the world. There are something like 50 million millionaires in the world. Don't quote me on that number, but something on that scale. And a lot of their wealth is tied to the stock market. So when Microsoft or NVIDIA or Apple stock is trading at multi-trillion dollar levels, you know, there are millions of people in America with a 401k plan or a stock account of Schwab that have 5, 10, 15 million bucks in those accounts. And they built it up over the boomers and like me over 20, 30 years. You know, I bought Berkshire Hathaway stock in my IRA in 1984. Three at something like $2,000 a share, right? It's in the multi-hundreds of $1,000 per share now. And so, when the market crashes, like we saw this in 2008, when you had a big market crash, you know, the Porsche dealers report overnight that sales have stopped to a dead stop, right? It comes to a dead stop. And so then the Fed comes in and they try to reinflate the bubble. They've been doing this now since Alan Greenspan of the 80s and under Ronald Reagan. He became the activist Fed who's decided that they were going to make the stock market go higher. And that's what they've been doing through Greenspan all the way up to the current Jay Powell. But it is an enormous Ponzi scheme because the underlying economy doesn't generate enough taxes to pay the debt that they issued to float that amount of currency. So it's just a matter of time. And with the yen carry trade now collapsing, which is the base layer of the global derivatives Ponzi scheme, we may, in fact, be looking at a $150 to $200 trillion crash of the global economies of the world, which would put 85% of the world's population into insolvency. That is not going to be a pretty picture, Alex.
Max Kaiser, thank you so much. Can't wait to come see you soon in El Salvador. God bless you. Thanks for the time.
Until next time, buy Bitcoin.
Yes, sir. All right. Mike Adams is loaded up and ready to go. He's about to take over. Then, in 55 minutes, Owen Schroyer, The War Room, 3 p.m. Central today. Please follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. Mike Adams takes over in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored. That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
All right, an outstanding event there from Tucker Carlson. Folks, you don't want to miss that. Welcome back to the show. This is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show, and I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger here from Brighteon and Natural News. You know my work, probably. I want to tell you I've got Clay Clark coming up at the bottom of this hour as our special guest. He's the coordinator of the Reawaken America Tours, and we've got a lot to talk about, especially Walz, the VP pick for Kamala. I'm still struggling with the correct pronunciation. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And hey, wasn't it the Democrats who told us that walls don't work all these years? I thought they said walls don't work. And now I guess the walls are closing in or something like that. Talk about walls here coming up. And in addition to that, we've got a lot of breaking news and analysis. I've got some new intel coming from some of my military contacts about orders affecting the 82nd and 101st Airborne. There's been a widespread alert in military circles to be ready for deployment in case Iran launches missiles against Israel. You've seen the House Speaker Johnson say that if Israel is attacked, then the United States will declare war on Iran. And it's not clear to me what exactly he means by that, or if all of Congress would support that. I doubt it. Or even if the White House would support that. But clearly, there's tensions are heightened right now. We're entering a very dangerous time, and Iran is being given weapons by Russia, advanced weapons, ballistic missiles, and apparently Iskander missiles, and much more. So things are going to get very tenuous and dangerous here very quickly. And I'd like to also ask the producers there to bring up a map of the Strait of Hormuz. So if you look at the Strait of Hormuz on the a southern portion of the Iranian coastline there, and then also, of course, the northern tip of the UAE with Oman to the east of that. If you look at this map, sorry to spring that on you last minute. You look at this map, the Strait of Hormuz is very, very narrow right there. And of course, a tremendous portion of the energy that is shipped to the west, including to Western Europe, moves through this Strait of Hormuz, H-O-R-M-U-Z, if you all want to look it up. Now, Iran has absolute control over the Strait of Hormuz. You've heard Alex talk about it and others. The thing to note about this strait is that it's so narrow And there it is. It's kind of the upward curvy portion of this map. You can see it's on sort of the right quadrant. Yeah, thank you for zooming in. You can see that it's very narrow. Now, you may not even know how narrow this is. There are actually, it's only about roughly 12 to 15 miles wide at its narrowest point in there. And there are two shipping lanes that go through there, one going east and one going west. And those two shipping lanes are each only about 2 miles wide each, right? And then between them, there's a 2 mile buffer zone. So there's only actually 6 miles that comprises the traffic lanes, like the highways in the ocean that connect the Persian Gulf to the rest of the world, to all the export pathways, and the Gulf of Oman, as you can see there. Now, this is going to be incredibly easy for Iran to shut down, should they so choose. Now, it would be very politically difficult for them to do so because it would deprive a lot of revenues to many of the other countries in the region that depend on these energy exports for their revenues. However, in the case of an all-out war, Iran would have that option to shut off energy exports to the West, which would absolutely crush Western Europe. So Western Europe already struggling under the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, which we believe was carried out by the United States military, the Navy in particular, in order to stop Gazprom from Russia from being able to export energy to Germany. Because that was shut down, Europe is already reeling under a lack of energy, and this is why Europe's economy is in absolute shambles. Also, of course, Europe, as you know, is right now being completely overrun, and the European officials, especially in the UK, have no willingness whatsoever to defend their borders, defend their culture, or defend their own people. It's outstanding. It's outlandish to watch that happening. If I were to use the word outstanding, I would attribute that to the fact that from the point of view of Islam, their people are doing an outstanding job of pushing into Western Europe, while from the point of view of the West, it's outlandish that they're not willing to defend their own country and defend their own culture and defend their own people or their own children. So just depends on your point of view, right? But Islam is flooding into Western Europe. Western Europe's economy is crumbling, because of the energy losses. The United States military took out the Nord Stream pipelines. And now, if Israel launches a preemptive strike against Iran, which they're threatening to do, or if they attack Hezbollah in Lebanon with another preemptive strike, then we could be drawn into a conflict where energy exports are extremely limited from that entire region. And given the fact that the Biden administration has shut down domestic energy production in the United States, taking us away from the energy independence that we had under Trump, then the United States would find itself reeling with outrageous energy prices and outrageous food inflation and a difficulty with transportation and farming, you know, because of rising diesel prices. The fuel that powers the barges that ship many of our goods up and down the rivers of America and many other areas even air transportation and so on would all be impacted. So this is why the U.S. State Department right now under Biden is practically begging Iran not to attack Israel. The back channels, those discussions that are happening right now are off the charts insane. The White House is, I'm told, promising all kinds of things to Iran. Just don't attack Israel. We'll give you whatever you want. It's almost like Iran has the U.S. State Department held hostage in essence. But the U.S. State Department is offering to drop all economic sanctions, I'm told, from Iran. I mean, to end all sanctions, Western sanctions. But you know what's bizarre about that? Well, fast forward another year or 18 months, those Western sanctions aren't going to matter much anyway, because Iran and Russia and China and South Africa and other countries have already rolled out the infrastructure, or they're in the process of rolling it out, for the BRICS system. And the BRICS system, by the way, is an honest ledger system that no country can counterfeit. So think about this. You just saw a segment with Max Keiser right before this segment. Max Keiser was right on when he's talking about the fact that Bitcoin can't be counterfeited. Bitcoin is an honest ledger. And did you know that Russia just legalized Bitcoin for use in international trade settlements? Why? Because the West keeps weaponizing the Western dollar, the Western currencies, and the SWIFT system, weaponizing it as punitive sanctions against countries that the West doesn't like. For example, Iran, or for Russia, or China, or what have you. So all those countries got together, mostly led by Russia, and said, we're going to have our own currency. It's going to be called the BRICS currency. We're going to switch over to that system, and that switchover begins this year. A lot of it will be implemented by late this year, with a lot more happening in 2025. They're going to have their own international settlements of buying and selling, trading goods, and you know, government debt instruments and so on among each other without using dollars at all. And over 90% of the trade right now between Russia and China is carried out in non-dollar denominations. And that's a major shift just in the last couple of years. So the bottom line is that the dollar will ultimately collapse in value. We're over $35 trillion in debt. The money printing hasn't stopped. And the dollar is a dishonest ledger because it can be counterfeited at any time. And it is being counterfeited and being printed and handed out all around the world and then weaponized against the enemies. Bitcoin can never function that way. No one can control Bitcoin because it's distributed by design, right? Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of nodes running around the world. Nobody can fudge the system or counterfeit currency into that system. Same thing with BRICS. Now, interestingly, Bitcoin is a permissionless distributed ledger, whereas the BRICS system will be a permissioned distributed ledger. You'll only be allowed to run a node on BRICS if you're given that permission. It's just going to be the key countries who are involved running those nodes, which makes it more secure against hacker attacks, for example, or, you know, brute force work attacks. So the bottom line is BRICS is going to be backed by 40% gold, is the current rumor. So you're going to have metals backing an international currency, the BRICS currency, that can't be counterfeited, can't be weaponized, which means that most of the world is going to flood into the BRICS system very quickly. They're going to abandon the dollar. The U.S. and Israel will be left just holding bags of dollars that are losing value and that they cannot weaponize any longer. Because who's going to want to take the dollars? Saudi Arabia doesn't want dollars anymore. Russia doesn't need dollars. Iran doesn't need dollars. Turkey has already said it doesn't have to use dollars. Turkey's going to join the BRICS system. So we're talking about the major manufacturers around the world, China, the major, number one manufacturer, plus all these other countries that are involved in energy production, Russia in particular, and Iran and other countries. These countries are not going to use the U.S. dollar. So the U.S. dollar is going to be just this dinosaur of currency that's going to be printed to oblivion, and the U.S. won't be able to use it to fund any kind of actual production of weapons to win any wars in the Middle East. And the thing is, Iran knows this, and Russia knows this, and that's why they're delaying for time. All that Russia and China and Iran have to do, or the strategic opponents or enemies of the United States, all they have to do, and they know this, and Kim.com tweeted about this the other day as well. He's right. All they have to do is sit back and wait. The U.S. is destroying itself, sadly, and it's going to be up to people like you and I to try to save this country and bring it back from the brink of destruction and have an honest monetary system, which means the whole current system, the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, the dollar printing, that's got to be completely replaced with something closer to Bitcoin, which is why Trump just talked about how the U.S. needs to be a leader in Bitcoin and the U.S. needs to have a massive national reserve of Bitcoin. Because it can't be cheated. It can't be counterfeited. Trump is very pioneering in this understanding. He's got it right. The U.S. needs a national currency that is honest, and then there'd be an economic boom. And if Kamala and Walz, if they get somehow elected or cheat their way into office, then you're going to see probably a breakup of the United States, and you're going to see new nations formed, such as the Republic of Texas, probably, that will launch their own BRICS-like currencies, which will be backed at least partially by precious metals, and it will be honest currency that can't be counterfeited by the state. And then the businesses will flock to those regions, like they're fleeing California now and already moving to Texas and Florida and other states, and you're going to see a massive wave of economic abundance in those states, or new nations or new republics, or whatever that looks like. Now, what I've got coming up for you here more today is an analysis of what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, what's the real plan with Barack Obama behind the scenes? how they plan to carry out massive sabotage against the United States of America if Trump is elected in November. Of course, they plan to cheat, but they also know that their chances of winning are very slim at this point. And that's why they picked walls, I believe. I'll give you that analysis in the next segment. But they plan to carry out sabotage operations against the United States and its economy and its currency, and to start World War III, and to cripple the domestic energy infrastructure to the maximum extent possible, and also to set off race wars. And what that's looking like now is that the radical left is going to pivot Antifa and other similar left-wing groups into the Free Palestine movement, which even many Palestinians are not happy about that taking place, because it's just going to radicalize, you know, that wing of the protests. So you're going to see the so-called Free Palestine movements then waging lots of protests, you know, kind of like what's happening in the UK right now between the conservatives and the Islamic people in the UK. You're going to see that on steroids in the United States if Trump wins. And between, you know, Election Day in November and then January 20th, you're going to see massive riots. You're going to see all kinds of kinetic damage, you know, buildings being set on fire and so on. This is designed to hand Trump the weakest nation possible, with the worst possible economy and the worst problems internationally dealing with wars, Russia, possibly Iran, China versus Taiwan situation, and so much more. And on top of that, having a domestic nightmare. So if you thought that the sabotage against Trump was bad during his first administration, you know, hold on to your hats, folks, because it's going to get 10 times worse in Trump's next administration, which is technically his third administration. Don't you find it interesting that Trump will be the first president in U.S. history to have won three elections but only served two terms? Interesting. But I guess that means we all get a chance to vote for him a third time. So that's good news. But we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. And that's part of what we're talking about here today. And if you could show me the clock, I'm not seeing it right now, that would be really helpful. But I know we're going to go to break shortly. And then when we come back in the next segment coming up, we're going to go over all the details of the exact sabotage plans, the invaders that have been sent into the United States, and also the their plan, what they're going to attack, what their targets are, because they're being handed lists of targets, actually. And those are infrastructure targets that will be extremely vulnerable. Some of those will include power grid and energy infrastructure and many other things along those lines. Okay, I'm good. Sorry about the interruption there. So I'm just going to go into that right now because we've got time. So here we go. My military or former military intelligence contacts have told me about what has been smuggled into the United States. And I received another question today from another former veteran who pointed out that one of the weapon systems that's been smuggled is a ground-to-air missile system. The U.S. State Department put up all kinds of red flags about this over a year ago. They knew that, you know, across the open border, a surface-to-air missile system had been smuggled in successfully, and they were trying to locate it in the United States. I don't have a model number on that. I wasn't given that information. But apparently, it's a pretty hefty system that requires being towed or carried in a vehicle. It's not just some handheld thing. So fast forward to today. You've got the Trump administration, you know, coming up. They tried to kill Trump already. They shot him in the ear. Missed their real target, his head. They tried to assassinate him. What's the next most logical expansion of their weapon systems against Trump? Well, Matt Bracken deserves a lot of credit on this because he's spoken about this quite a bit. They are area effect weapons. That includes surface-to-air missiles. So we need to get a message to Trump and his team urgently to have extra security at every location where his plane is taking off and landing, because there are surface-to-air missiles in the hands of some kind of terrorist groups, possibly run by, you know, intelligence community members, possibly sock puppet kind of actors, and they could take out Trump's plane at when it's taking off or landing at an airport. And I absolutely, obviously, I don't ever want to see any kind of violence like that happen against any candidate. Not any Democrat, not any Republican, not Trump, not Kamala, no one. That kind of violence is not acceptable, but it may be deployed. And we need to be realistic that they're going to move into area effect weapons to try to take out Trump. If Trump wins, the sabotage operations will include the activation of people who are the military age combat veterans who have been put into this country. They have invaded, they have occupied, and they will be given access to storage lockers. These will be containers and storage facilities across the country that are already pre-equipped with a tremendous amount of equipment, which includes, as Customs and Border Protection has already interdicted some of these, it includes full auto drop-in triggers or SEERs mechanisms for both AK and AR platforms. It includes night vision equipment. It includes illegal suppressors that have been shipped in from China and put into storage. It probably also includes some kinds like homemade explosives of some kind, but we know for sure it includes mortars. So portable mortar systems, I don't know if they're 60 millimeter mortars or what they are, but they're portable mortar systems, and they can be deployed against, you know, sadly, refineries and energy infrastructure, because their area effect weapons and refineries are very, very vulnerable. So I would urge, like, the governor of Texas, the people in Texas, the people in Louisiana, wherever you have energy infrastructure, please double down on your security. Please widen your security to the areas around your refineries, because there are mortar systems. I don't know what the range is on them, but let's say thousands of meters. I don't know the exact range. I don't know the specs. But these could devastate our domestic energy supply, and that's going to be the effort that will be activated, that will be underway. In addition to that, and it pains me to bring you this information, because I don't want to see America hurt. I don't want to see any bloodshed whatsoever. I want us to be vigilant. I want us to be safe and protected against this. But these enemy combatants, and Michael Yon has spoken about them at great length, they are given instructions. Well, they will be given instructions, to attack law enforcement centers. They will attack police stations. They will attack sheriff's offices. And so all of you listening who are in law enforcement, sheriff's deputies, police, SWAT team members, double down on your security, internal security. Plan on your buildings being breached. How are you going to handle that threat? And this isn't just some idle lone shooter type of person who doesn't have experience with weapons. These are going to be teams that assault your positions. They're going to break in the back door, let's say. They're going to come in shooting, and their job is to try to wipe out all police. So I need you, please take this seriously. This intel comes from many different sources spanning the last, 18 months in the aggregate. Targets will include bridges, not just refineries, but bridges and ports, and they will include power infrastructure. You know, even the FBI has warned about some of this as well. They've been sounding the alarm, and they're not wrong on that point. America's domestic infrastructure is absolutely being targeted, and if there's an activation day here, which could be a combination of things, it could be war with Iran sets this off, and then all of the Middle Eastern combat fighters in America go active, or it could be that Trump wins the election and then elements of the deep state, they go active with their actors and their saboteurs who are already here domestically, or it could be both of those things happening at the same time. We don't know what's going to activate first, but we know we're vulnerable. And so folks, get ready with, you know, your backup supplies, everything, energy, food, emergency medicine, all the things that you need in order to stay safe. Make sure you've got a bug out plan. Make sure you've got a bug out vehicle, a location. Make sure you are ready. Please support the rule of law in your community. Support local law enforcement if they need your help. And support civility and help those in need wherever you can. We'll be right back after this break with more straight ahead on The Alex Jones Show.
A limited edition, exclusive InfoWars proprietary 24-karat .999 pure gold collectible is now available. In this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art, this is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight-up donation drive, but we may have to do one. But this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar. that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
I would rather be oppressed by the Nazis.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I would rather just have some Soviet commissar with his boot on my neck and just saying, do what I say or die. And it's just like, ooh, okay, I get this. This is straightforward. Yes, sir. Please don't kill me. I prefer that over whatever this is.
Push for systemic change.
I would choose straightforward, manly oppression over this preschool baby talk.
As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn.
Just say you'll kill me. Just do it. Whatever this pathetic, vocal fry, cat lady librarian bullcrap is, I don't like it.
It's for the greater good.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half of my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys okay. Gotta try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones with Mike Adams.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. We've got a great guest lined up for you joining us just in a minute. It's Clay Clark from the Reawaken America Tours. I just want to mention something up front, because there are a lot of amazing connections happening right now. And as you may recall, last week, Alex had on the show Pastor Steve Ciccolanti and Brandon Biggs, who is a friend of Steve and also a pastor himself. And he had a prophetic vision months ago that Trump would be nearly shot, that a bullet would graze his right ear. And Pastor Biggs was right on track with that. And I want to thank Alex for having both of them on the show. Now, I've been a follower of Pastor Ciccolanti for many, many years, at least 7 or 8 years. And he has moved to Florida now, and he's setting up his new church, which is called Discover Church, in Florida. He moved from Australia to Florida. Now, he's still got his church in Australia, but he's setting up a brand new church in Florida, which is just fantastic. We welcome him to America. Let me give out his website. It's discoverchurch.online. If you want to visit that and learn about Ciccolanti, I interviewed him yesterday. I'm actually publishing that interview tomorrow as well, which will be on Brighteon.com and also, you know, Rumble and other places. And there's one other thing I want to say here. Well, two things. He, Pastor Chicalanti, filmed that interview with Biggs with the prophecy in the living room of Clay Clark, who is our guest right now. We're going to bring on Clay in just a second, but I want to show you something else. Oh, and here's Clay. Hi there, Clay. Welcome to the show.
Hey, brother, I appreciate you, and I want people to know, I know Kim Clement had a prophetic word years ago involving me, and then we have this incredible prophecy from Brandon Biggs and Steve Chocolani in my kitchen, and I don't even know what to do with that, Mike, because I don't claim to be a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but if you read the book of Amos, I feel like I have a lot in common with Amos. My job is just to share the truth. I know that's what you do, that's what Alex does, and whenever you have a prophecy that's broadcasted from your living room or from your kitchen or a prophecy from a Kim Clement about you, it's sort of a awe-inspiring, humbling, overwhelming thing. And so if you haven't watched that prophetic word from Brandon Biggs and Steve Chocolani, I encourage everybody to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And Clay, you're doing amazing work for America right now. And what you and I are observing, and Pastor Steve and others, is that, you know, God is working through us in very interesting and unexpected ways. And I want to share something with you here. This was given to me. This is the Holy Bible of my great grandfather. It was given to him in 1959. And he was an ordained minister with the Assembly of God. And he traveled around the Midwest, Arkansas and Texas and Missouri and Oklahoma and other places, and preached the Word of God back in those days. And I have been called to help share the Word and to help share just the practical analysis of Scripture. I've been putting out sermons myself lately. I'm doing 100 sermons in 100 days leading up to the election. I finished 10 somehow, Clay. I got through 10. I don't know how I'm going to do 90 more. But you know all about the Scripture a lot more than I do. What do you think is happening right now? Why are people called to faith right now in this moment in American history?
Okay, well, if you open your Bible to Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14, Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14, the Bible states, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but I encourage everyone to read it, and please assume I'm making this up, okay? The Bible states five things will happen, Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14. Seriously, the Bible states that when the Euphrates River dries up, and it is, the false prophet will show up, and Yuval Noah Harari is, and the beast technology will show up. Yuval, by the way, refers to AI as the beast. That the nations of the earth will gather against Israel and things will start to blow up. What? And China and Russia will team up. So everything that was prophesied in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14 is happening simultaneously. And if you say, you're taking that out of context, you can open your Bible to Mark chapter 13. Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. A lot of Bible verses. Mark chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24, and Luke chapter 21. And so I believe the Bible was written not to scare, but to prepare us. And I believe because you, Mike Adams, actually read the Bible, and because I actually read the Bible. I saw Alex Jones the other day do a wonderful broadcast where he was talking about how Satan, in large part, has dominion over large aspects of life on earth. And Alex, his mastery or not. Holds, you need to read the Bible, because 27% of the Bible is prophetic, 73% of the Bible is historical. And I believe that people that do read the Bible are going to be the ones who actually know what's going on, the people that will have discernment to understand what's happening.
Well, thank you, Clay. And I would add to that that, you know, I had never read the entire Bible until recently, now going through it, you know, verse by verse, and just absolutely fascinated by, you know, like the philosophy of Paul and the questions of Job. And also I was doing a sermon on Matthew 24. That's my sermon for today, by the way, just a little piece of it, because it's a lot to handle. And I just want to encourage everybody out there. If you've never read the Bible, if you've never gone to church, if you've never even considered yourself, you know, Christian or spiritual or religious, guess what? You can look at it with fresh eyes. And you know what, Clay? What really resonates with me about the Bible and about Paul the Apostle, for example, the persecution. And that's something that we can all resonate with right now. And I don't think you can even understand the Bible unless you've gone through some form of persecution yourself, as we have, all of us who have been Trump supporters or conservatives or those who speak with righteousness. Clay, we have been persecuted, and so many of the people that you connect with, that you have on stage speaking at your Reawaken America tours, they're all persecuted too. Isn't that a core theme of our time right now that's actually bringing us in a way closer to God?
Yes. Matthew 5:10 from the Bible says, "Blessed are ye who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." Again, Matthew 5:10 from the Bible says, "Blessed are ye who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for ye shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." Now, again, I say that because we were backstage at one of the events, and I encourage anybody, Mike, who hasn't been to a Reawaken America tour, you know, the final stop for us will be October 18th and 19th. It's going to be in Salem, North Carolina. And folks, you can get tickets or learn more about it by going to timetofreeamerica.com. And again, the mainstream media likes to say you can't name your price, but you can name your price at timetofreeamerica.com. And if you use promo code Mike Adams, we no longer charge you more. That's timetofreeamerica.com. But anyway, we're backstage at the Reawaken Tour, and I'm there talking to Eric Trump. I'm talking to General Flynn, Mike Lindell, really people that are much more well-known than I am. And one of these amazing speakers looks, and they look off to their left, and they said, "Who's that guy?" And I said, "I don't know who that guy is." Well, I find out that the guy backstage was the son. He was a son of one of the speakers, probably 16 years old. And one of the speakers, I won't mention his name, but he said to me, "I don't feel comfortable about this kid." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, he's not being sued. He's not being subpoenaed. He's not being prosecuted. I mean, don't you have to show your papers to get backstage?" And it was kind of a joke because we're in this high security situation, right? There's a lot of security threats. And it was kind of that gallows humor, but the joke that resonated with everybody was, it's true. You almost have to be at this point sued, subpoenaed, persecuted, or prosecuted, deplatformed to be backstage at the Reawaken America tour. And if you look at the lineup of speakers, Peter Navarro just got out of jail. He's one of the key speakers in Selma, North Carolina, October 18th and 19th. General Flynn lost his family. He was an honored military man who had served in our military, a veteran who had served honorably for 33 years in the military. And he basically lost everything financially that he had. And he didn't sign up to be in the military because he wanted to make money. But think about that. Every dime he had saved was taken away from him. His house was taken away from him. That man lost almost everything for having the courage of his convictions to stand up against the military-industrial complex that's always in pursuit of endless wars. Think about Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones is being sued. He's told he owes just epic amounts of money. I don't want to get the number wrong because I don't have my notes in front of me. But Alex Jones, I mean, he's supposed to pay insane amounts of money due to this persecution is how I would describe it. Or in my case, to a certain extent, I've been in a lawsuit for 3.5 years related to comments that people have said on the stage at the Reawaken America tour that happened to be true.
Oh, wow. So I, for the record, I think the judgment that was handed down by the I would call it a rigged court trial system against Alex Jones is something approaching $1.5 billion. And also General Flynn, as you just mentioned, let me plug his movie. It's called FlynnMovie.com. If you haven't yet seen the movie, folks, go there, FlynnMovie.com. Watch the trailer. I just interviewed Scott Wiper yesterday, also, who's the producer of that film. We had an amazing conversation. General Flynn has been tortured by this deep state, and he stood his ground the entire time. He has done the Christian thing. You know, he held his ground on principle, even when everything was threatened against him and they took everything from him that is material, you know, money, assets, home, all of that. So General Flynn is an American hero. Clay, question to you. Do you think that General Flynn will serve again if he is called to by President Trump again?
Well, I'll say this. I consider myself a little bit of an insider because I do speak to Eric Trump and General Flynn and Kash Patel and Alina Haba and all these people on a daily basis in many instances. So I don't want to share anything that's confidential, but I would say that General Flynn loves President Trump. I mean, he loves him in a way like you love your brother or you love your sister. I mean, he has an unbelievable loyalty to President Donald J. Trump, and he believes that President Trump is really the only option that we have to save our country. I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment. Mike, you and I have talked about this offline, but I mean, President Trump is really the only thing standing in the way between the Great Reset or this digital dystopian dystopia, right? This social credit score, this green New Deal, this carbon credit score, this 15-minute city, this fourth industrial revolution. The only thing standing in the way between that occurring and the American freedoms that we grew up with is President Donald J. Trump. And so General Flynn has recognized that for a long time. He campaigned for free for President Trump, as you'll see in General Flynn's documentary in 2015, 2016. And General Flynn really respects President Donald J. Trump a lot. And I know that he would be happy to, eager to, excited to serve in any capacity that Donald J. Trump would ask General Flynn to help save this country. Again, there's just an unbelievable loyalty that General Flynn has. And I underscore that because the media always tries to create division and try to imply that there's some sort of rift, but nothing could be further from the truth. General Flynn loves Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. As do, I think, most real Americans. And I want to say, too, for the record, you know, last time that I interviewed you several months ago, well before the assassination attempt of Trump, I was really frustrated that day. And I was expressing some concern about a couple of issues that I had had, you know, problems with Trump, Operation Warp Speed and all that. And I got to say, you know what, after the assassination attempt and after seeing the wretched evil that the left and the deep state have put on display for us, I got to say, all the criticisms, even in my own mind, that I had of Trump, they've melted away. They're irrelevant at this point. If we want to have a nation, it's Trump. I mean, Trump is the one that we've got to get into office to literally drain the swamp this time. I mean, well, I suppose metaphorically, but I mean, get it done this time. So Clay, I mean, everything that I was asking about Trump or concerned about Trump, it doesn't even seem to matter at this point.
Sure. Well, I'll say this. I mean, when I, Mike, this is before I met you, but my wife knew who you were because my wife listens to your show a lot more than me, Mike. This is when I was doing my Thrive Time Show podcast where I only talked about business and how to grow businesses. I never talked about these kind of topics. I told my family and friends, I said, President Donald J. Trump is a great fit. I initially wanted Ben Carson to win, right? And so I wasn't talking about it on my show. I was just talking to family and friends. And I said, you know, Trump beat Ben Carson and Trump is the only viable option we have to save this country. I said it then. I meant it then. And then people asked me, well, what do you think about Pence? I said, I don't think Pence is a good guy. I don't think Pence is America first. That's my take on it. And I believe they're going to try to infiltrate or to, I would say maybe the word is retard or to slow down or to obstruct the America first agenda of Trump by surrounding him by idiots. And I believe, I do believe this, that they, you will see a similar attempt again. I think you're going to try to see Trump. You're going to try to see those that do not like America first, that do not like Trump, to try to surround him with nefarious people that do not yes. want what is best for our country. And so my prayer is that President Donald J. Trump will have that discernment. And I would just like to humbly submit the following five people that I think should be serving in Trump's administration. I'm providing solutions. One, I really do believe that Ben Carson should help dismantle the medical industrial complex. That's Ben Carson. Second, wouldn't you love to see Laura Trump being our press secretary, or Tucker Carlson being our press secretary, or Alina Haba being our press secretary? I mean, how about a Tucker Carlson press secretary? What would that look like? I mean, wow, that would be a lot of fun. So I'd love to see Tucker Carlson, Laura Trump, Alina Haba in there in some capacity. I'd really, really like to see Douglas McGregor, retired. You know, this is, again, Douglas McGregor, retired military. I'd love to see him serving in that administration. Would love to see it. Love to see General Flynn serving under President Donald J. Trump. And I'd also love to see Cash Patel. Love to see Cash Patel. And I'd love to see Eric Trump serve as some sort of chief of staff. Eric Trump has great discernment.
Absolutely.
And that's just a handful of people that I'd like to see around Trump. I can't speak to who all the bad actors are and that sort of thing, but I want to see people that know Trump, that love Trump. Love to see Eric Trump working as a chief of staff because it's such an important role. And Eric Trump does a great job leading the Trump organization, which, by the way, has thousands of employees. And the reason why the systems work is because nothing works unless your people work. And so Eric Trump brings in those A players. He's a great staffer, great recruiter, great leader. I'd love to see Eric Trump be that chief of staff. Again, love to see Tucker Carlson be that press secretary. Love to see Ben Carson dismantle that medical industrial complex. Love to see General Flynn wage war against the military industrial complex. It's just a handful of people I'd love to see. I'd love to see Cash Patel get in there. Again, I don't know everybody, but I know who some of the bad actors are. But those are just some of the names I would submit as the good guys.
Well, I think that's really critical. And that's an excellent list. And you're exactly right. This time around, Trump has got to exercise discernment, not let the Pences in, not let the backstabbers anywhere near him, and make sure that chief counsel and other key members in the White House are not working against him or working for the globalist agenda. Now, let's shift gears. What happens if the Democrats manage to rig this thing? I don't think they can win it organically, but they can rig it, and they're working hard to rig it. What does our country look like if we get a Kamala Harris, Tim Walz administration, you know, straight up Marxist communism? What does that look like?
Well, I just talked today to one of the wealthiest men in Minnesota. So I had a conversation today with one of the wealthiest men in Minnesota. And I grew up in Minnesota. So, Mike, occasionally if we're having a really good conversation, if it's late at night, I might say, oh, don't you know? Oh, for cute, Mike. Don't you know? You know, I might go into hardcore Minnesota. And if I spend any time at all, seriously, with people from Minnesota, I'll start to say, oh, for cute, or don't you know? I mean, it's just a bizarre thing. My wife is like, what has got into you? Why do you keep saying oofta? And it's just because you slip back into that Minnesotan very quickly. So I left Minnesota, not because I don't like the state, but I just, the state tends to be blue. Tends to be a blue state, tends to be the farm community is heavily subsidized. There tends to be kind of a downtown non-American demographic down there. You know, I'm not a big fan of a lot of the politics in Minnesota. And a friend of mine is very wealthy. He lives in Minnesota, one of the most successful entrepreneurs in Minnesota. No hyperbole. I mean, this guy's killing the game. And he says to me, this guy is the worst governor. This guy actually contemplated moving from Minnesota for the sole reason that the governor of Minnesota made it so hard for him to run his businesses with his thousands of locations. He thought about moving his business from Minnesota. This is a nationwide company with thousands of locations, and he contemplated just getting out of Minnesota entirely because there's so much red tape and so much outright communism.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I run a business in Texas, and I'm so grateful for the legislature in Texas. I mean, we've got a governor who's pro-business and pro-energy. We are really blessed in Texas, but if I were in a state like Minnesota, I'd probably leave too, as a business owner. I mean, how's Oklahoma for business? Probably pretty good, I would imagine, huh?
Well, you know, our governor, Governor Stitt, he classifies himself as one of the freest governors in America. I'm not really sure what that means, Mike. I'm a big fan of this thing called the Constitution, this First Amendment right to peaceably gather. So I don't know what it means to be, you know, more free, but in my opinion, we should just be the home of the free, land of the brave, right? But, you know, in Oklahoma, I mean, we did have lockdowns. We did have quarantines. They did put a lot of energy into pushing the shots. But in contrast to the friends and family that I know that live in Minnesota, I mean, Minnesota was radical. The lockdowns, the quarantines, the curfews, the mask mandates, just the jackassery, the wokeness. Did you know that the governor of Minnesota, this is true, folks, and I apologize, this is true, and if you want to put earmuffs, you can. The governor of Minnesota, this is fact, he has demanded that tampons must be available in the boys' restroom in high schools. Think about that for a second.
That's the tampon Tim meme there, yeah. But wouldn't...
I mean, what does that mean? Is he expecting a flood of women to go into the men's restroom, or what was he thinking?
Well, I don't know, but I'm interested. Do they come with instructions or something? Because wouldn't it be confusing to all the young men? Like, what exactly are we doing with these things, you know? Maybe Walz can demonstrate that as part of the campaign message. Maybe he can show the young men how to use the tampons. Who knows? That might be very popular on the left.
Mike, I'll say this, a true story. This is kind of a sad story, but it's true. A young man who I'll be very vague, but in the state of Oklahoma, his father is my friend. So there's a guy I know very well. I know the father. I don't know the son. But the young man, the son, discovered that at certain schools, you're allowed to now go into the women's restroom or the women's locker room if you identify as a woman. Mike, think about this. You're a 16-year-old horn dog, okay? You're the popular kid in school. And you figured out, hey, I can go into the girls' locker room whenever I want. I mean, this guy is like the Stifler, you know, from American Pie. This young man, my friend's son, is like Stifler of his school. He's just a He's a testosterone freak. You know what I mean? This kid needs to be like put on a shot collar or something. You know what I mean? His parents need to beat him. So he figures out that he can work his way into the girls' locker room whenever he wants. And so the dad tells me, he says, can you believe that my son is able to get into the girls' locker room whenever he wants because he simply states that he identifies as a woman? And I go, unfortunately, I can. To move on, this guy, this is a friend of mine who's not political at all, he said in Oklahoma schools there is now kitty litter in the bathrooms of many of the schools. Kitty litter. Kitty litter. I'm not making this up. What? I mean, this is for kids that identify as an animal. So I would just say this. If you're out there today, I mean this sincerely. If you're out there today and you're listening and you say, well, what can I do to save this country? I've got three calls to action for you real quick, 90 miles an hour. One is, if you haven't watched FlynnMovie.com, as you mentioned earlier, the Flynn documentary really is a powerful documentary. You should watch it tonight, FlynnMovie.com, FlynnMovie.com. Second, if you haven't got your tickets for the Reawaken America tour, we are having Peter Navarro, Laura Trump, Eric Trump, Cash Patel, General Flynn, Team America. I mean, we've had Alex Jones at these events. We've had Owen Troyer, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Richard Bartlett. If you get injured, you'll be just fine. We have a lot of doctors on site. Dr. Jane Ruby. It's going to be a blasty blast. That's going to be North Carolina, October 18th and 19th. That website is timetofreeamerica.com, timetofreeamerica.com. And then call to action number three, if you're taking notes today while navigating on a skateboard over a gravel road, trying to take notes with some pocket lint and a pen that doesn't work, that website again is timetofreeamerica.com, timetofreeamerica.com.
All right, hold on, Clay. Now, but I got to hold you on this. You have told me previously that it was the last event, like a year ago.
I know.
And then there's another event added and another event added.
You are
and
sick.
I've been noticing this, Clay. So what's the story?
I have committed to Eric Trump, committed to General Flynn, that I am going to do everything I can possibly do to help save this country and to put President Donald J. Trump back in office between now and November. That's the commitment I've made. You and I have talked about this a little bit offline. That's the mindset I have, is we got to get Trump in office, right? So when you've got the soon to be commander in chief, President Donald J. Trump's son, asking you to do one more, and General Flynn asking you to, because our events are kind of like the reverse of the RNC. I mean, there's no censorship at all. There's no sponsorship, which, by the way, Mike, that's the key to me losing copious amounts of money. I found a way to not have corporate sponsorships. So there's no censorship. Right. There's no – yes, you've been to our events. I mean, I never tell you what to say.
Yes.
There's no teleprompter.
Nope.
When you spoke at our events, I had no idea what you were going to say. And so what's happened is the world – there's really no other event in the world, is my understanding, in the world where there is no censorship and no corporate sponsorship to trying to steer the conversation. And so I've been asked to host one more. So I said, okay, I'll do one more. So here we go. Final one, October.
All right, Clay, we're run up out of time here right now, but timetofreeamerica.com is your event website. Folks, go there and check it out. And also, by the way, support this channel, support the sponsors, drjonesnaturals.com. Thanks for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like, if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not if they, there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would
yes.
say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy, the industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.